This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Again, welcome to another international edition of the Armor of God. It's good to be with all of you once again. You know, why is it that there seems to be a war on Christianity today? And furthermore, there seems to be movements all around today to seemingly push God right out of our culture. Oh yes, my friends, that's right. There seems to be such an amount of animosity that is surrounding the Christian religion. It's amazing. The Christian faith seems to be under siege, as though there is some kind of Christophobia around. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what denomination you may be in, whether it's Baptists or Pentecostals, Presbyterians, Catholics, or Anglicans. If you somehow are associated with the name of Jesus Christ, it seems like, well, you're a target. Your denomination is a target. As a matter of fact, I kind of call it the Jesus game. And how it works, you see, is it basically begins with a very sketchy sketch, very fundamental, basic outline of the alleged Jesus of your Bible. And then the game is, you see, is to get yourself separated as far from the Bible as you possibly can. And spin the information so that the, what you could say, identity, the relationship of this Jesus that you're spinning is nowhere near what the Bible characterizes. Now, the reward may be perhaps a morning interview on Good Morning America with Matt Lauer or maybe even Diane Sawyer. And perhaps maybe you might even go the next level and maybe get a book deal or perhaps hit the big jackpot and get a movie deal, you see. But the problem is, and the point that I want to make is, it seems as though over the last 3 to 4 decades or so, as a matter of fact, the 60s, seems like when a lot of this began to commence. And it's been building momentum ever since. Now, Hollywood and New York, well, they've contributed an awful lot to this what appears to be anti-Christian, anti-Christ movement with programs such as Jesus Christ Superstar or Godspell. Or do you remember The Last Temptation? And then you compound that with books like, for instance, the one that came out many years ago called The Passover Plot, allegedly portraying the fact that Jesus was drugged, was somewhat semi-comatose on the cross or the stake, and then was put in some kind of a stupor, like a suspension of animation, and then later on, essentially died of old age someplace in Europe. And many of the major magazines continue to propagate and advance stories that are headlined in search of Jesus of the Bible or the historical Jesus. As a matter of fact, even some of the major news networks have specialized in stories that are titled In Search of Jesus. I even remember years ago, the Dead Sea Scrolls were allegedly going to come online to disprove the Bible, and especially tear apart the New Testament, which in fact the Dead Sea Scrolls have nothing to do with the New Testament, only the Old Testament. And today, we have even more modern gospels coming out, as this most recent one that was brought to our attention, titled The Gospel of Judas, that allegedly puts Jesus and Judas conspiring together over the betrayal event, which in fact Jesus and Judas knew about the betrayal going to occur. Your Bible's quite clear on the fact that Judas was even told by Jesus to do whatever he had to do quickly. So I don't know really exactly what they're talking about in that regard. But at any rate, then of course we have the most recent tremendous selling book, Da Vinci Code, by Dan Brown, selling over 40 million hard copies, with an additional millions of copies now in paperback that's being made available. And the negative press, well, it doesn't give it up. The New York Times, or 60 Minutes, for that matter, all take their shots, mocking and laughing to scorn, ridiculing and opining about how Christianity is in some respects just a bunch of nonsense. They even threatened, if you recall, Mel Gibson when he brought out the program The Passion, claiming that, well, he was just plain nuts, and then tried to discourage people from seeing it by claiming that he was doing nothing but exploiting the Christian audience by trying to make money off the movie. And then they tried to put fear in everybody by claiming it was going to generate a new wave of anti-Semitism. And yet, conversely, the movie The Da Vinci Code, produced here by Ron Howard and starring, I think it is, Tom Hanks, well, it's hailed and promoted as the next best thing since sliced bread and Chevrolet. It's promoted and it's advertised as a must-see for everybody, and advanced as something that if you don't see it, you're missing an opportunity of a lifetime. We're going to talk a little bit about that in particular, but before I do, let me interrupt myself to proceed to give you our free offer. And I want to mention the fact that this is indeed a free offer. We have two pieces of literature that are available here for your perusal, and we really want to encourage all of you to get it. Dial now, 888-578-8791, and ask for the book Messiah, just who is the anointed one, and also how to study your Bible. Both booklets can be easily read in one sitting. They're very basic and fundamental, but they are crucial, my friends. They underscore some principles that you need to have and to be aware of in order to combat much of this anti-Christian propaganda that is coming your way and that seems to be picking up steam and developing trends. So don't hesitate. Dial now, 888-578-8791, and don't forget about our website at www.cgi.org. There are additional free offers there and literature for you to peruse, to obtain for the benefit of your family and, of course, your Christian walk. You can even watch additional programs of the Armor of God that we've got there that you can stream right to your computer and watch perhaps at more convenient times. So don't forget now, dial 888-578-8791, and don't forget to hit us on our website at www.cgi.org. Now, back to this program that we're talking about regarding this alleged war on Christianity. And it is. It's not really an alleged war. It is, in fact, a war. And you, my friends, need to be prepared about what is going on and how to combat and to fend off much of these anti-Christian and, frankly, anti-Christ attacks. Oh, yes. You know, what is really at the heart of some of the successes that many of these books like Holy Blood, Holy Grail, or for that matter, The Gospel of Judas, or, as I mentioned, The Da Vinci Code, do you know how they successfully are able to make the penetrations and generate the doubt and essentially destroy the faith of so many Christian people? Simply, they exploit our biblical ignorance. That's right, my friends. They exploit our biblical ignorance. And it's a shame. We need, as Christians, and if I can encourage any of you, let me encourage you to do this. You need to begin to understand what this book is all about and stop being somewhat ignorant of its contents. There are so many things in this book that you need to understand so that you can resist some of these attacks on your Christian faith. If you're not familiar, my friends, with the content, then you're an easy target. Getting to know the stories and the characters and their relationship with each other and how they interact with one another and how they build the story between Genesis and Revelation and what is the meaning of that for you and I in these contemporary times of the 21st century? How do we relate to this, what some view as an archaic Judean book that is so outdated that literally, in some people's opinions, it needs to be outlawed of all things? And that's true, my friends. There are movements today, and I don't know if you're aware of it or not, that would love to outlaw this book, even though it is a bestseller. The reality of it is, my friends, it appears as though nobody is in fact reading it. Now let me explain something to you. And I say that because of this. In 1945, realize this, in 1945, 65% of the American public were Bible-based believers. By 1964, 35% were Bible-based believers. In 1983, that dropped to 16% being Bible-based believers, to where today, as it is, as little as 4% are literally considered to be Bible-based believers. Now, these statistics, they're heartbreaking. And frankly, like I would hope it would affect you as it did me, very sobering to realize that so few people know about what this Bible contains, the promises. Who's Abraham? Who's Isaac? Who's Ezekiel? What relevance does Hosea have to the United States, or for that matter, to the world? And what about the book of Revelation and all these symbols that John wrote down so many years ago? What does all that stuff mean? Does it have any meaning for us today? My friends, it is a shame that we do not bone up, as they say, on the information that's in this book so that we can be better prepared to resist these attacks. And because 4% are considered to be Bible-based believers, is it any wonder? Is it any wonder, my friends, that some of these anti-Christian propagandists, anti-Christ propagandists, make the headway that they do in destroying the faith of so many? They do, my friends, without question. And if we don't begin to get a bit concerned and proactive about becoming more aware of what your Bible has to say so that you're better prepared to resist some of these attacks, my friends, we will lose our nation to hedonism and deception. Now, in particular, I want to mention something concerning the Da Vinci Code. I want to spend a little bit of time on this very hideous and subtly heinous story about this mangled mess of just what you could say bizarre claims that are characterized and portrayed as historical facts. And that is what is hideous about it, my friends. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that the Da Vinci Code book is a failure. It's not. I think the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, when you sell a book over 40 million copies, it would be absurd for me to take that to task and claim the book is not popular. The book is popular without question, and as you can see, has gained in that popularity by virtue of now becoming a movie and produced by a rather heavy-hitting producer out of Hollywood, Ron Howard. So it goes without saying that the book, The Da Vinci Code, and the movie, The Da Vinci Code, won't be popular in being viewed by so many here when it comes on stream and as it is on stream, because there are so many people interested in conspiracy. They're interested in mystery. They're interested in the whodunit, you know, and the murder and all the graft that is surrounding secret societies and different codes and all those kinds of things. So it goes without question, my friends, that this is interesting stuff. But this is what is hideous about it, that Mr. Dan Brown would have the audacity to portray this book as some kind of scholarly historical work. And that's where I'm coming from, and that's why I'm saying that it is very heinous in what he's doing, because he's out on the morning shows being interviewed by some of the more popular interviewers, and he's still promoting the fact as though the historicity of this book is accurate, when in fact it's not. The Da Vinci Code is not historically factual. It is a fictional novel, my friends. It is a fictional novel. And we need to remember that. It is plain and simple. Just plain, simply a fictional novel that he wrote. And it makes for good reading. Let me explain a little bit here about this movie. Now, Mr. Dan Brown, he basically centers the movie around the Holy Grail. But unlike what many of us understand to be the traditional understanding of what the Holy Grail is, which is basically the cup that allegedly Jesus drank the wine out of at the Last Supper, Mr. Brown claims that Mary Magdalene is the Holy Grail, who was married to Jesus, bore him children, and hence was essentially ostracized by the apostles. Therefore, she went on to France, where the royal bloodline of the kings of France, allegedly, are tied directly to the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And then he further portrays and submits the fact that many of the documented proofs and the evidence of this reality is contained and embedded in the art of Da Vinci and the architecture in and around the areas that he mentions in his book, and also is focused around the secret rituals and secret societies, allegedly, of the Catholic Church, and in particular the Opus Dei group within the Catholic Church. He further portrays, my friends, additional premises that he builds his story around, which makes good reading. I mean, it's a thriller. It's a fictional thriller. But the fact of him portraying it as historical fact is insidious. And he continues, as I say, to build it on additional premises. Now, as I've mentioned already, the first premise is basically that Jesus and Mary Magdalene had children. Secondly, that Emperor Constantine of Rome constructed the Bible around his political whims. Thirdly, that the Christian church is anti-woman. Fourthly, Jesus was voted divine at the Catholic Council of Nicaea, 325 AD. And fifthly, and perhaps most importantly, because he extrapolates a lot of evidence from these alleged Gnostic Gospels claiming to be credible. That's right, he portrays the Gnostic Gospels as credible. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with that, these are the Coptic scrolls that were found and discovered in and around 1945 by an Egyptian village called the Nag Hammadi. And these alleged gospels are very interesting reading, but in no way, shape, or form should be construed as something authentic. Now, let me explain a little bit about the origin of the Da Vinci Code. Some of you may be unaware of the fact that Mr. Brown essentially was taking his information from a previous book that was published in 1992, titled Holy Blood, Holy Grail. Some of you may be aware of that due to the lawsuit that was ensued prior to the release of the movie. But what many of you perhaps may not know is that the 1982 book of the Holy Blood, Holy Grail information was extrapolated by a guy named Pierre Plantard. He was, you know, and you may ask, well, who was he? Well, he was simply an anti-Semitic Frenchman who was jailed for about 6 months on fraud charges. 1954, he was released, combined his efforts with about three of his buddies, and generated a club called the Priory of Sion. Its cause was primarily to advance low-cost housing in France. However, that whole club was essentially dissolved in 1957. Here then, Pierre proceeds a few years later, gets the idea about the fact that Mary Magdalene is the Holy Grail, maintains the name Priory of Zion, and proceeds to develop documents and information that attempts to substantiate the bloodline of Jesus being found in the kings and royal bloodlines of the kings of France, of which, of course, Pierre himself places himself and inserts himself in that bloodline. 1993, though, however, Pierre found himself enraptured and entangled in a political scandal that included Francois Mitterrand, the former president of France at that time in 1993, and under oath, my friends, Pierre admitted that the Priory of Zion, which was alleged at that time to be a secret society and which today is still a secret society among the people that are part of it and were supposedly the protectors of the Holy Grail, Pierre admitted under oath it was nothing more than a sham. That's right, it was nothing more than a hoax, and he admitted this. And today, we have people writing books like Holy Blood, Holy Grail, or the Da Vinci Code that continues to perpetuate the fantasies and delusions of none other than Mr. Pierre Plantard. And it's unfortunate because some of these things that are mentioned in the Da Vinci Code, such as what Mr. Brown claims that in fact the Bible cannot be substantiated in any way, shape, or form, are just outlandish statements. He himself may not be aware of it, but hopefully you are, that there's over 5,000 different documents, original Greek manuscripts, that are translated in over 20,000 documents in three different languages, Latin and the Coptic and the Syriac languages, and of which go back to almost within a 100-year time frame. A 100-year time frame of the original writings. That's even closer than the writings of Plato, which we only have about 7 manuscripts of Plato's writings, and we can't get any closer to his original time period than 1,300 years, and yet we hold Plato's writings in higher esteem than the Bible. It's amazing, my friends. Unfortunately, people just don't take the time to read and realize the Bible is very well substantiated and well founded on very legitimate documentation. And to start off, and I'd like to turn here for a moment over in the book of Luke, because I think it does us well to consider some of these things that are mentioned in the book of Luke, chapter 1, by Luke's own words. He mentions here, and I state in chapter 1 and verse 1, Luke states, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses." Eyewitnesses. Can you imagine that? And he goes on and he says, "And ministers of the word." It seemed to me, Luke proceeds, "having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto you in order, most excellent Theophilus, that you," here it is now, the reason why he wrote, "so that you might know the certainty of those things wherein you have been instructed." And then Luke, who wrote also, by the way, my friends, I don't know if you're aware of it, the book of Acts in chapter 1 here and in verse 1 in the book of Acts, we read here, and again, Luke writing, he says here, "The former treatise," which is referencing the book of Luke, "have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Luke is saying that there were eyewitnesses. Paul even mentions and substantiates what Luke is saying here. There were over 500 people that witnessed Jesus being alive after they saw he was dead. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But I want to turn over here again, my friends, because these are things, scriptures, you need to be aware of and really take to heart. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse chapter 3 and in verse 16, we read, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now listen to this. He goes on here, my friends, in verse 17. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Here, Paul, writing to Timothy, mentioning that these scriptures are very, very important. And I could go on. I could talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where it talks about how the Old Testament is a litany of examples for you and for me to be able to learn life's truisms from, along with Matthew 5, 17, which Jesus himself, written there and recorded by Matthew, where Jesus himself states that I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And when you understand the expanded truth of that statement, you begin to recognize that what Jesus is actually talking about, my friends, is that he came to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament of which spoke and taught about him, of which he himself even admitted that if you would know the Old Testament, you would see and understand that it talked about him. My friends, we need to begin to understand our Bible. We need to begin to take time to become ingrained and to become, what you could say, filled up with the information here so that we can be better prepared to combat some of these attacks on our Christian faith. My friends, take time with your Bible. Learn it. Study it. And get to know it. Because it's the only way you're going to be prepared and able to be, what you could say, guarded enough to fend off some of these attacks. And that's why I want to encourage all of you to get today's offer. My friends, dial 888-578-8791. Ask for the pieces that we have here to offer you. They are free of charge. They don't cost you anything. We don't have anything to sell. It's by the good hearts of the people of the Church of God International, our primary sponsors, along with co-workers like yourselves, some of our viewers who have partnered with us to provide all of this information as free public educational services to you. Ask for the booklet, Messiah, Just Who is the Anointed One? And secondly, How to Study Your Bible. Dial 888-578-8791. Let the operator know that you want both of these free offers, my friends. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you to put on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in these days when Christianity is under attack.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
The Armor of God deals with the solutions to our broken world. New perspectives presented for your consideration by our commentators in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.